It is time for another IndySportsLegends.com podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Smith, and joining me on the show today is Seth Lawrence. Seth does some sports broadcasting with WHOW in Illinois. Seth, how you been, man?
Excellent, T.Y. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Baseball season is here. Opening night just over a week away. Cubs and Cardinals kick things off April 5th at Wrigley Field. Everybody else plays the following day, Monday, April 6th. So it's an exciting time for baseball fans everywhere. And Seth, I know a lot of season preview shows, they kind of build things up to the end of the show to have their predictions at the end. But I just want to jump right into some predictions right off the bat here. We're just going to start things off with a bang. And I know baseball is tough to predict, but who do you like for your division winners in 2015, starting with the National League?
Well, T.Y., I think the Nationals repeat. It's hard not to like that pitching staff. I think Bryce Harper's in for finally the big year we've all been waiting for. It's hard not to like the Nationals in the East, but I think it's a little closer than the 17 games they won by last year. I still like the Cardinals in the Central, but you know, the Brewers, the Pirates, and the Cubs are all closing the gap on them. I think it's a little closer this year as well. And, you know, the West, I think, is a toss-up. It's a three-horse race, I think, and I think the Dodgers take it again. But, you know, I'm not super comfortable about that pick. I just like Kershaw and Greinke at the top of the rotation. They've got a lot of star power in the lineup. So, yeah, I like the Dodgers out West.
I'm right there with you, man. I've got the Dodgers, Nationals, and Cardinals myself. I think all three are probably the favorites. St. Louis might be the most vulnerable of the three just because the NL Central is wide open. I think, though, the wild card is just going to be insane in the National League this year in 2015. But I'd be pretty surprised if the Nationals and Dodgers were not division winners from the East and West. But it is baseball. You never know. The thing for me for 2015 is I think that in both leagues – the central divisions are going to be the hardest to predict. You know, you got National League. I think really all five teams feel pretty good about their chances to compete. I mean, more than likely all five will not end up competing. But at least on paper here in spring training, I could see all five teams with at least a chance for division or wild card. Then you look in the American League Central, and it might even be even more of a toss-up. Four teams out there that, you know, you can't go wrong really predicting any of them. Tigers are still loaded. Royals, of course, won the pennant last year. White Sox are improved. Cleveland has a solid team, and they got a lot of good young players. These divisions are going to be tough, like I said, but I'm going to stick with the Cardinals in the NL Central, and not really a risky choice here, but I don't think you can go wrong with the Tigers in the AL Central. As for other divisions in the American League, I think Seattle is going to have a shot out West. But I'm still going to go with the Angels, I believe. I think Seattle will compete for a wild card spot. In the AL East, this probably is my only maybe a non-safe pick, if you will. I'm going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays. I like the additions they made in the offseason. Boston is improved, but their starting rotation just doesn't do it enough for me to pick them for the division. Baltimore should be in the mix, but they lost some key pieces, didn't bring a whole lot back in. So, Seth, what do you have for the American League?
Well, actually, I'm going to go with Boston. I know everybody makes the argument they don't have an ace, but I think that lineup is so improved. They have so much depth in the minor leagues that it's almost going to be, if somebody gets hurt, it's going to be a next man up, and I think they've got the talent to fill the voids. You know, I think Baltimore can make a strong case as a repeat with the lineup that they've got, but I'm going to go Boston out in the American League East. I think they go from last to first for, what, the second time in 3 years or something crazy like that. In the Central, I'm going to go with the Indians. I think they are ready to blow up. I think Michael Brantley, we saw what he could do last year. I think he's a solid player. I think that lineup starts to come together a little bit, and the pitching out there is seriously underrated, I think. I think people don't give their young pitchers enough credit for how talented they could be, and I think they finally get over that hump. Terry Francona managing the helm out there, I think he gets the Tribe to an NL Central crown this year. And I got to go with the Angels out West. I don't buy the Mariners. I'm sorry. Their lineup doesn't do it for me. One bat amongst, you know, a bunch of guys that have proven almost nothing other than Seager and Cano. The lineup doesn't do it for me. The pitching certainly does. I like the pitching there. The A's, I have some questions about. The Rangers, I think, will be improved, but I still think the Angels are the king of the West.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there with the Angels with the track record. Boston, like you said, they're going to be the offense is going to be pretty tough. So we'll see. And they've actually gone worst to first, I think, a few times. It's like they're either in last place or they're winning the World Series. So this is their year. This is their every other year, kind of like the Giants in the National League. Cleveland, interesting pick. You mentioned the pitching there. Carrasco might even be better than Kluber. I mean, it's hard to say. They got a lot of good arms there. You know, Seth, one of the great things about baseball is that every year there is at least one team, sometimes multiple teams, that end up making a run that nobody's talking about in spring training. You know, some team that's projected to win like 75 games, they end up winning 90, 95 games. Seems like it happens all the time, and that's one thing that makes this sport so exciting. At the same time, there's also a team or maybe more that everybody's hyping up and they'll end up disappointing. So that can be just as unpredictable. But it's definitely going to be exciting to see how it plays out. And like I said, the wild cards should be nothing short of wild here in 2015. Let's talk about some of the players and prospects now that you think may have breakout years. Last year, there was really just a huge list of breakout players. You had Corey Kluber, Jake Arrieta, Josh Harrison, Jose Altuve, Garrett Richards, Brantley. I mean, the list goes on and on. Who are some names that are on your list for that this season?
Well, I'm glad you asked, T.Y. I have my own blog, and I blogged about through the month of February on a number of guys. And just some of the names I put out there kind of include, I thought, the center fielder out in Miami, Marcell Ozuna. I know he went for 20-plus homers last year, but I think he's going to have an even bigger year. If you look at his splits from month to month, it was quite drastic. I think if he can find some consistency in that lineup, I think he's going to do some good things. So I like Ozuna. One guy I'm really targeting, though, is James Paxton in Seattle. Big left-handed pitcher. He battled injuries. He was a highly touted prospect out of their system. I think he is in for a big-time year in Seattle. I mean, almost maybe like a Matt Harvey type of rise to the top of the stardom board, if you will. I think he's in for a big year. And I also think Kenneth Vargas out in Minnesota, DH first baseman for the Twins, big dude, switch hitter. He's got great power, great contact rates. I think he's in for a big year as well.
Yeah, a lot of interesting names there and some guys that I've been watching myself. Something you said earlier in the show, Bryce Harper possibly having his big come-out party this year, and that's something I'm expecting. I like Souza for the Rays, although he's had a rough spring so far. I think this could be the year, not that he's old or anything, rookie last season, but Mookie Betts from the Red Sox, he could have a breakout season. I could see a guy like Eric Hosmer having a much better overall year with the Royals. Prospect wise, you got to talk about the Cubbies, which is music to my ears, of course, as a lifelong Cubs fan. Finally great to be a Cubs fan with everything that's going on, but you're talking, you know, Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, Jorge Soler, Javier Baez, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's very possible that by the middle of 2015, the top three rookies in baseball might all be in the same lineup, or at least in the National League, because, you know, Soler is still considered a rookie this year. But, Seth, I know you and I were both calling this years ago that the Cubs were coming. What are your thoughts on the 2015 team and also their future?
Well, I think this year they're going to compete, T.Y. I don't think there's a question about it. I don't think they're quite ready to make a run at the playoffs or at least get into the playoffs. They might scare the Cardinals and they might scare the Brewers and the Pirates, but I think they're a year off. But, man, it's hard not to like the Cubs at this point in time. I mean, just the amount of hitters that they have, it's not just, you know, four or five. I mean, they are stacked upon stacked at every single position. You know, if it's not going to be one guy that makes the roster, whether it's this year or next year, it's going to be another guy. And it's just the quality of depth is unbelievable out there. And the pitching, don't sleep on the pitching, T.Y. Kyle Hendricks is a tremendous pitcher. C.J. Edwards is coming. And like Jake Arrieta last year, I think if the Cubs can tap into a guy named Jacob Turner, he could turn into a guy like Arrieta, where he broke out last year, figured it out in Chicago. They picked him up off of waivers from Miami last summer, and he's battled some injuries this year. But I think Jacob Turner, if the Cubs can tap into and figure out what they did with Arrieta, translate that to Jacob Turner. You know, this pitching staff, this offense is going to be unbelievable. I think 16 is the year, but 15 is kind of a preview of what we're going to see with the Cubs.
I'm right there with you. And don't forget about the nasty bullpen that Theo has built himself with those young arms. This is kind of a tough question to answer, but out of all the Cub prospects, who do you think is going to be like the best one or two guys? Because there's so many options. Who do you think is going to be the best?
Yeah, I mean, Brian's got to be the obvious choice as the number one, but I think Soler is gonna be a star right there with him. They're so right-handed heavy. You know, if Schwarber can move quickly through the system over the next few years, you know, he's going to be a star. But I think Bryant, obviously, I like Soler a lot too.
Yeah, absolutely. The 2015 team for me, I agree that they may not be all the way there, but I think they're going to at least compete for a playoff spot. I'm actually going a little bit higher than some of the prediction sites. A lot of sites have them at 83, 84 wins. I'm actually going to go 87, a few more than most. I think they're going to at least be in the hunt for the division, but most likely they'll be in the hunt for a wild card spot. Here's one thing people forget about last year, though. After May 15th of last season, the Cubs were basically a 500 team. They went 60-62 in their final 122 games. So if they're already basically a 500 club to finish the year, then of course they add Joe Maddon, John Lester, Montero, Fowler, you know, Arrieta and Hendricks for the full year. The kids are a year older, and of course two of their best prospects are still on the way, and Bryant probably just within a couple weeks of the season. So I just like the makeup of the team. They may still be a little too young and a little too strikeout prone to win that many games, but the 2015 team, this is what's great for a Cub fan, the 2015 team is probably the worst team the Cubs will have the rest of this decade, and that's got to be pretty scary to the other National League teams in the Central.
See, why do I add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You talked about getting Montero, and I know his career numbers aren't great, his average isn't great, but his on-base percentage, I mean, he knows how to work the count. He's a professional hitter. I think he is a huge key to this team, and I talked about this on my Cubs preview on my blog a few weeks ago, or probably last week, I guess. I'm going to start the hashtag Montero watch, because I think when he gets on base, he's going to make the team better, especially towards the bottom of the lineup. He's not going to hit in the middle of the order, but if he gets on base, I think that's just a huge lift to have that guy that can consistently do that and kind of be there and teach the younger guys how to become a professional hitter.
Yeah, I agree, and that's one thing Theo really stressed. He knows the team's got to get on base more, and so bringing in guys like Montero and Fowler should be a big boost, especially for the young guys. So should be interesting. But speaking of a guy like Chris Bryant, a lot of controversy and conversation about him over the last couple weeks. It seems pretty apparent that Theo is going to hold him back for a couple weeks to gain an extra year of control. What do you think about not only the Chris Bryant situation, but really just the rule in general?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't blame Theo for doing what he's doing, because he's well within the rules of the league. You know, you can kill the Cubs about it, and that's fine. It's a fair opinion. But he's playing within the rules of the league. He's not, you know, it's not like he's breaking rules doing this. I just think it has to change, T.Y. I mean, this is ridiculous. The fact that the kid is the best player, probably the best player on the team, and he's going to start the year in AAA all over an extra year of control. I think in the upcoming CBA, you know, they need to address this. And it can't just benefit the player. It has to benefit the team. And I think between the players' union and the league, I think they'll find some common ground. But we saw this with Longoria a couple years, or not even a couple years ago now, but when he first came up, I think it was the exact day that he could come up and avoid that Super 2 status.
Yeah.
You know, he got the call. So the rules got to change, but I can't blame the Cubs. They're playing within the rules of the league, and that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. I also want to kind of remind Cub fans, speaking of Longoria, he was held out of the opening day roster, comes up a couple weeks later, and the Rays did go to the World Series. I'm not predicting that for the Cubs, but everybody keeps talking about, you know, what if the Cubs miss the playoffs by a game and Bryant's not there for a few weeks, and, you know, it's a long season. I understand that. I am a little torn. You know, I'm going to Wrigley for opening day. I really want to see Bryant there, but I do completely understand with what Theo is doing, and like you, I just don't like the rule. You know, I think if just the whole 2 week thing, I don't understand. I mean, I think the date, if there's going to be a date, it should probably be more like mid season. So you're really trying to, you know, protect a player, you know, in the minors. But the 2 week thing, I don't see the point.
It makes the decision tougher.
Yeah, and if that was the case, Bryant would definitely be on the opening day roster. But since it is only 2 weeks, it's just kind of a random number for me that you're going to go to Iowa for 2 weeks and then come up and. You know, it's a little strange to me. But here's the thing, though. The Cubs fans wanted a smart baseball man running the team. They got it. Theo's doing a heck of a job. They just need to let him make those decisions that he's done so well with already. He's got a track record. He says he's never had a rookie make his debut on opening night, so I don't expect that to change now. But pretty good track record there. They just need to trust the guy. And but again, I hope the rule changes, like you said. Few minutes left here on the show. Let's talk about two other topics real quick. Seth, what are your thoughts on baseball trying to speed up the game, and what are some things you are most excited for in the 2015 season?
I'm not a fan of speeding up the game, T.Y. I just, you know, growing up, kind of the appeal of baseball was being on the mound as a pitcher. You didn't have to hurry. You know, as I got older, as I sped myself up, I got better. But I don't think that's for everybody. You know, just kind of in general, I think Rob Manfred's come in and really tried to make a lot of big changes and kind of put his stamp on the game. And I don't think it's really necessary at this point. I mean, there's going to be games where it takes 2 hours and 15 minutes. There's going to be games where it takes 3.5 hours to complete. I mean, it's just the nature of sports. To say baseball is long, I think, is kind of an exaggerated statement. But, you know, it is what it is. If the, you know, batters are going to keep getting fined over it, you know, they're going to keep losing money. I mean, the league, it's an interesting experiment, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. You know, in certain areas, I think the game can be sped up a little bit, but it's not really about making the players rush. I think the situations like in between innings can be quicker, replay situations can be quicker. I think they should limit meetings on the mound, and that includes like the catcher going to the mound every three batters or something. You know, like there are things they can do to maybe speed up a little bit without having, you know, to make the players rush, especially if you're talking like a late game situation, like there's a huge situation, guys want to really focus and you're forcing him to stay in the box. Like that's probably not going to go over well. They're probably just going to take the hit with the fine because they want to focus. But definitely those good old 5 hour Yankee Red Sox games, we can do something about that. But I agree that, you know, baseball is a different animal and there's a pace of play. And really when fans go to games, I don't think they mind games being long. I mean, they're spending the money. They want them to be a good event that they're going to. There's no rush when they're at the ballpark.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I've just now recently kind of begun to notice when a game is taking longer. But, you know, when you're a young kid, a teenager, you don't notice that. You're there for the thrill of the game. If it's on TV, you know, you've got the freedom to get up and move around. I just think it's kind of ridiculous. But I agree with a lot of your points you made.
Yeah. Well, how about as far as our last question here, some things about the 2015 season that you're most looking forward to?
A couple of things. The parity in baseball this year, I think, is going to be really good. I put together a power ranking, if you will, and it was probably one of the toughest that I've done over the last 4 or 5 years that I've been doing it. And I think the parity is going to be fun. I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that have the talent this year to compete, find out where that, you know, if it's a young team, if they can step up and make, you know, take that step to the postseason, find out how those players develop. And that's one thing. I'm also kind of excited about the prospects this year. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to become the faces of franchises coming up. I think they're, you know, they've got a chance to make the big leagues this year. It's going to be interesting to see those young guys start to make their way and trickle into the league.
Yeah, once again, I agree with you there with the prospects. I know that in the last couple of years, it's been really trending more towards pitching and defense, but I actually think we may see a little jump, not a huge jump, but maybe even a little jump in the power department this year, mainly because of a lot of those prospects that are coming up. And you got guys who came up last year who may explode, like Springer and some of those other guys with the power. So I as a fan, you know, I would like to see the power back at least a little bit. Nothing crazy like it used to be, of course, but I'm excited to see that. And again, like you say, with the parity, and I mentioned earlier, the wild card races I think are going to be insane. I think both Central Divisions are going to be insane, and that's always exciting. A lot of the season prediction sites, you look at them and they say there's anywhere from like 9 to 11 teams from each league that have a legitimate chance at the playoffs. And so that's exciting to me. That's, you know, definitely unlike NBA play, where you kind of know the 3 or 4 teams that have a shot at a title. NFL is pretty open, but you still have some powerhouses. But here in the Major League Baseball, there are so many teams 1 week away from the season that truly believe that we have a shot this season, and that goes along with their fan bases as well. And so it's exciting. So it's why it's an exciting time of year. Well, that is.
Agree with that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Q. I'm sorry.
If you had another thought, go ahead, because we're about to wrap up.
Yeah, I would tag along with that. You know, a lot of times you hear teams say, "Well, we have a shot this year," and you know, sometimes it's just them blowing smoke, you know, believing in themselves, and realistically, you know, they don't. But I think this year, a lot of the hype that some of these teams are putting on themselves and fans are bringing to the parks, I think it's real. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's not like a West Virginia over Kentucky kind of hype. It's like a real kind of hype. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Seth, I appreciate the time. Keep up the good work on your blogs and radio shows, and good luck to your Mets as well. A lot of good prospects coming.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do. I think they're like the Cubs. I think they're a year away, but we're going to get a good preview of what the future holds for them this year.
That's right, and watch out for Matt Harvey. He's a beast.
Love Matt Harvey, man. Harvey Day. It's his birthday today.
Ah, how about that? All right, man, thanks a lot. Enjoy the season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, T-Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it.